Hello, I'm John Kenny, the Relationship Guy and Relationship Coach, helping people to create healthy, intimate relationships. Welcome to the show where we talk about all things relationships with a mix of my own relationship ramblings and some great guests from all walks of life who will be discussing the importance of relationships to them. Hello, so my guest today is the founder of Yes Love, an online platform that's all about love and mental health. She's currently running a campaign called I Wish You Knew, which is a campaign that encourages people to share things that they wish more people knew that they can actually affect someone's mental well-being in an intimate relationship in a safe and non-judgmental space. That sounds really fascinating. I can't wait to talk about it. Welcome to the show, JLK.
Hi, John. Thank you. Thank you for having me here.
Absolute pleasure. Absolute pleasure. That was a very, very brief introduction to the platform and why you're kind of doing this, what you're doing. So please do tell the listeners more about yourself and all about it. That'd be great.
Yeah, sure. So the platform itself is an online platform that's all about love and mental health. So what we're trying to do is to basically shed light on things that can affect our romantic relationships, so things that can affect our mental health in particular. So yeah, because the it was basically birthed from my own experience where I basically noticed that there's a lack of information on love and mental health. And so basically I created this platform so people can be more educated on this topic, and also a safe online space for people to basically share and learn from each other, and also where people can get help if they've read this information, for example, and they think they can benefit from help from a professional. So that's the platform in a nutshell. The company itself is pretty much focuses more on the community side of the platform. So we really want to get these conversations going where we're getting more people to talk about things that are affecting their mental health in an intimate relationship, because we are aware of these things most of the time, but it's hard to voice it because of many different reasons. So I think when we all sort of come together and start talking about these things, it can help to validate each other's experiences and so on and so forth. So that's basically it in a nutshell.
Yeah, that sounds really, really interesting, and I'm actually very, very much needed, I think, too, for actually the reason that I got into relationship coaching really in the first place. Because when people say to me, why do you focus on relationships? And my time as a therapist and then my own experiences, I guess, as well, were the things that affected my mental health the most were my relationships. So when I worked with clients in therapy and now as a coach, relationships have such a big impact on your day-to-day well-being that it's something we don't recognize the significance of, I think. But also, I think, like you said, there's an awareness that there's a problem, but we don't generally go to the relationship as the problem. And if you've got this, you know, I'm feeling this way and I think there's an issue and I'm not really sure what the issue is. But then if you've got this platform that you're offering and people can go, that is what's going on in my life.
That's it.
Yeah.
And you're exactly right, because relationships, if our relationship's going wrong, it can pretty much affect everything else in our lives, from work. Certainly did in my case, and sometimes it's not just knowing that there's something wrong in the relationship, or that's even if you're even acknowledging that and not just sort of distracting yourself, but even when you do actually notice that, you're not sure what exactly is the how to sort of navigate around what's happening, I think is crucial, because I think relationships are pretty much how societies start, because the quality of our relationship will ultimately determine the quality of our society, because that's where families are there, and so on and so forth. So I think we at times undermine how important it can be to discuss these things. So yeah, definitely.
Yeah, definitely. And there's a study, it's the Grant Blewick study, which is a study into happiness. And it's about 85 years it's been running. And I think after about 75 years, they brought out a set of results. And those results were that the most fundamental impact on your quality of life and your level of happiness and fulfillment is the quality of your relationships.
That's right, without a shadow of a doubt. Yeah. And I think, yeah, especially when there's mental health involved,
mm-hmm.
mental health itself is already complex enough. So we're still learning every day about mental health. And I think when it comes to, so when I say providing information on the platform itself, so it's not just sort of information about how to sort of maintain a healthy relationship, even though all of that's all important when two people are healthy, self-aware, and all the rest of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's also understanding that there needs to be more context, basically, when we're providing relationship advice, because if you're dealing with somebody who has at least a lot of narcissistic traits, for example, there's a certain approach that you have to take.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to maintaining your relationship, that's if you can even maintain it. So so it's just highlighting these patterns and helping people perhaps see that there's a different approach to their unique situation, for example. So
okay.
Yeah.
So people can come to your website, they can get an idea about, you know, if they can resonate something that resonates with them, what's on there, they can explore what's going on within their relationship and actually find out ways of managing those to improve their own kind of emotional and sort of mental health space.
Yeah, so that's definitely one of the key things that we're offering on there. So because we have a get educated section at the moment, we're just focusing on personality disorders.
Okay.
Yeah, so we're just basically highlighting what it is, the kind of patterns you might see in your relationship, because I think that is quite key when we're talking relationship. Because if, you know, like I was saying, your partner's, you know, spending a ridiculous amount of money, and you think, well, they've got poor, you know, they're making poor financial decisions, they just don't have the skills, you might think, whereas they could actually just be having an episode. Due to their personality disorder. So I think being aware of these things can help. But on the community section, of course, you know, we sort of share different types of information in that context. So it's not just about the personality disorder. So at the moment, it's quite frequently. So about every 1 to 2 weeks, we're sharing new content on there about things from domestic violence to the food that we're eating that could be affecting our relationship. So
mm-hmm.
all of that is on there. So yeah, it's just shed light, really.
I think that's an interesting point you just made there about nutrition. I mean, I'm actually retraining. I used to be a PT many years ago. I'm retraining to be I'm refreshing my skills, I should say, to maybe go back into the PT world. And I'm doing a bit of nutrition stuff. And it is something that I've known about for a while, but it's not something I've really brought to the fore in my own coaching and in my own therapy. But things like sleep, how important that is to your own mental health, things around diet and nutrition and everything, how that is to your own mental health. And they are things that we have a tendency to overlook and the significant impacts that they can have. And the impacts that can then have on the people that you're having relationships with.
I love you know what you're doing there, because I think that's a key thing when it comes to providing advice on relationships. Because I think when we pay attention, because we tend to ignore things like that and say, well, you need to just, I don't know, communicate more. Whereas if you don't have sleep, you probably want to sleep and not spend time communicating. So I think it's great. And it was one of the sort of motivations, you know, the thing that basically encouraged me to create this platform because people out there are obviously doing, you know, an amazing job at giving us advice on how we can improve our relationship. But I think things like this is what I felt like was actually, you know, there could be a gap somewhere because there needs to be more context. So I think the fact that you're doing that is fantastic because we get more context and we're complex as human beings, don't we? So
yes,
yes, I think that's, yeah, that's definitely thumbs up.
Yeah, awesome. And the thing about the personality disorders and what might be going on for you, I think that's really helpful, as not just for someone that might be in a relationship with someone with some kind of personality disorder, but that to actually know how you might behave, how you might react if you have a personality disorder, and so on, what might be triggered for you. So, for instance, like borderline personality disorder is generally a relational issue from childhood that triggers that. So you can be in a relationship with someone with borderline personality disorder and they go completely over the top over such small things, and you kind of, I don't get that. But if you understand the symptoms and maybe the outcomes of personality disorder for yourself, if you're in a relationship with someone that might be in that space, or if you actually are in that space yourself and can understand your own triggers and what might come forward, I mean, that's really helpful to know.
Yeah, I absolutely love that you just mentioned that because, you know, speaking from my own experience, you know, in my previous relationship, so I wasn't aware of certain patterns that could indicate that actually this is, I don't want to say toxic, because I think it's toxic when it's unaddressed. You know, if you have, you know, disorder that's not being addressed, then obviously that's going to have an impact on those around you. So I didn't recognize, you know, the way I was being treated is actually unhealthy. And obviously that all comes back from our previous experience, childhood, and, you know, and all the rest of it. But when I actually started to become aware of these pattern and information, I was also, you know, surprised to find out that actually it could actually be codependent. You know, I wasn't aware of these things. So yeah. I think, yeah, definitely, it's not just to kind of go on this rabbit hole and get all of this information, and then, you know, you're now pointing at everyone around you saying that actually I think you might have this disorder. It's actually helping you as well to realize that actually I might have some things, and it doesn't necessarily have to be, I think, a whole disorder. It could just be the traits or certain patterns that you might think are healthy because that's just what you grew up around. So yeah, definitely. It was a huge light bulb moment, several light bulb moments, to be honest.
Yeah, it's very interesting, isn't it, when you actually start looking into all this stuff, how, especially, and I want to come to this with you in a second about your own experiences, but I used to run a monthly workshop on attachment style. And if you want to watch that, I have recorded it. It's on my website. So if anyone wants to know more about attachment, do go to the website. And that can be mistaken as well. You know, even like, you know, borderline personality disorder, perhaps you might just be highly anxious in your relationships, or you might have some, you don't have to have an avoidant personality disorder to be an avoidant type attachment. But if it's unaddressed, you keep cycling through relationships and having the same type of experiences over and over again. And like you said, some of this stuff can lead to some kind of codependency issues because you're trying to meet a need all the time that you've picked up possibly and probably in childhood, that then you're trying to meet all the time within your grown-up relationships, which can't be met. And I like the way that you describe toxic there. Toxic is if it's not addressed. If you keep going through the same types of things, that's when it becomes toxic. But if you are at that awareness and you start to implement change and put things into practice, you can kind of remove the toxicity from the relationship.
Wow, I absolutely love that. I mean, you're not doing what you're doing for nothing. Definitely, I can see that, because you really have a way of looking at things from an angle that, you know, I'm sitting here thinking, actually, yeah, absolutely. Because when we're talking about the whole attachment style, you know, I've always kind of wondered, actually, should we just kind of accept that that's just this person's attachment style? Because if there's an underlying issue for their attachment style, perhaps it needs to be addressed before we can conclude that.
So
I think it's quite interesting actually in that sense, because if it is a personality disorder, for example, and then we say this is just their attachment style, it might not actually, maybe after they've done that work, and then they, you know, maybe it becomes more secure. So
yeah,
that's a really interesting thing.
Yeah, no, it's definitely, because I call myself an avoidant in recovery. Because
oh, wow, I love that. Never heard of that one, but yeah, absolutely.
I'm still avoidant. I'm not probably ever going to lose a certain amount of that avoidant style, no matter how much I work on it, because there will still be some triggers inside of me, which my brain will go, stop, run away. I still occasionally will deal with things by shutting down. But my awareness is, John, you're shutting down. Why are you shutting down? So I know, first of all, I can then say, what's the problem? Because I know that I'm becoming avoidant. And secondly, is this something I need to avoid? Or is this just me trying to run to the hills because I'm not comfortable?
Wow.
But it's still there. It's just, like you said, with the toxic stuff, it's actually, am I dealing with it? And am I then doing something differently because I know that it's going to lead me down this pathway, which is going to lead to something for me that's not pleasant and can destroy
wow
a healthy
yeah love that honestly. And it's quite reassuring for me actually, because I guess I kind of have this had this idea for a little while that you know, so I'll read this information and within like the next couple of months I should, you know,
you'll be all right.
I'm ready.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're ready to leave again. Whereas it's an ongoing process, and it's a spectrum to begin with, and then you're working on yourself. And I think that's probably, you know, a lot of people perhaps are hearing this will feel a bit reassured, because I think it's quite interesting, because you know I'm more of an introvert. So I find it hard to kind of get out of my shell, basically. Even being here is half a miracle, I'd say.
Yeah.
So there's these factors as well, and then there's your childhood, and then there's your experience. So we are quite complex in that sense, and I think just kind of being aware of it does help, rather than just sort of concluding that this is who I am and basically that I'm avoidant. So I think there's times where I might feel more secure maybe days than others, but yeah, I think it really helps to know that we're not black and white, basically. It's okay to go for that
place. Yeah, I think that's an interesting point you just made. I don't know how many people I've met, spoken to in the past that says, well, I'm this and so therefore, and I'm like, Is that good for you though? It's like you use it as an excuse or a reason. I'm going to be like this because this is my personality. Whereas, like you said, as an introvert, you've taken a step today to put yourself out into some kind of public arena, and you've put yourself into this uncomfortable space, which hopefully becoming more and more comfortable the more we speak. But it's again, I think that's an excuse, unless you've got some. Unless there's some wiring in the brain, or there's a chemical something again, which you're not getting it addressed, perhaps there's always a possibility to change. It's all about choice. Yes, I'm an avoidant personality. Is that serving me? Am I getting the fulfilling and loving relationships that I want?
That's
no. True. So what am I going to do about it? Or I could just keep saying to people, I'm an avoidant. And that's it. And I'll never be close to anybody. And that's just how my life's going to be. And that's my choice. But again, I don't have to do that. I can make a completely different decision.
That is very true. And I think you could apply that to, I think I had to kind of have, and it can be quite difficult, I think, as well, to have that conversation with yourself. Because I think that's really the conversation you should have when, you know, making that decision, because I say, like in my situation, for example, I had to ask myself, well, you know, I might be, you know, because there's many reasons why people stay in unhealthy relationships. For example, But then I think asking yourself these questions, you might say, well, you know, I didn't have a great childhood, so this is all I know, or, you know, I depend on this person, so therefore I can't do that. And obviously I still have compassion on, you know, people that are, you know, are having to stay because of X, Y, and Z. But I think sometimes it's really, deciding, do I really want this? Do I really want to raise a family in this environment? I think those questions are the things that really can push us. You can just rest on, oh, well, I can't do that because of that. And and it was hard, I'd say, as well. So it's definitely not easy, but I think with most of these things you can.
Exactly. Yeah. Again, there's lots of, like you said, there's lots of reasons why we might stay in a relationship, because, again, it could suit us to do so because of our own relationship type patterns. It could, we feel a bit powerless. Again, the relationship could make us feel coerced or manipulated to stay. We can't see any other options. We can't, you know, there could be financial reasons. There could be lots of different things that could stop us. Trauma bonding, you know, that type of stuff that could keep us stuck in certain types of spaces. So let's maybe talk a little bit more about yourself then. You're doing this. One of the reasons is because of, you know what it's like to be in and maybe an unhealthy relationship space. Can you tell us a bit about your story?
So I'd say, you know, I was raised in an African home, and there's a certain parenting style which is usually on the stricter side of things. And, you know, different people react to that differently. So, you know, my reaction was definitely, I'd say it resulted in me, having just low self-esteem, because whilst I know, you know, obviously I was raised by my sister, and, you know, I think this is pretty much all she knew. And I struggle to say that was evil, because it's just kind of part of the culture, but obviously the effects are still there, and they definitely were there for me. And that basically resulted in me, I guess, having a lot of self-doubt, because a lot of it was, so there was a lot of expectations, such as not getting things right, you know, and when you made a mistake, you meant you was foolish and that sort of thing. So I pretty much grew up with feeling like I was wrong. So if anybody told me, oh, what I was doing wasn't accurate, I would automatically sort of, you know, I would maybe defend myself, but deep down I would think, actually, I'm not adequate, therefore I should probably work on that. So now I find myself in a relationship. I absolutely do not see the correlation whatsoever. And obviously I'm wrong, and I'm basically anything that happens in the relationship, you know, whether it be because I don't know, cook the meal on time or whatever it was absolutely my fault. Because I've been wrong for a very long time. Yeah. And it wasn't until, obviously, I heard about things like, you know, going to therapy to sort of help you with your childhood traumas and things like that. But I was just really skeptical. I didn't think anyone could do anything that would change the way I see myself. It just didn't make sense to me. Yeah. And I actually went to therapy for another reason, because I lost the dear one. And I thought, well, you know what? What am I going to lose? I might as well just try it out. And because it was quite helpful, I thought, actually, I think I want to look into my own childhood traumas and things like that. But at that time, I just left my relationship, and I left because, not because I decided that I was more worthy, it's just because it was absolutely, basically breaking down my mental health, and I just physically couldn't do it anymore. But then, so I wanted to kind of, it was bothering me at the time, so I mentioned it to my therapist and said, well, you know, I do want to focus on the childhood, but I want to also mention something that's just it was really just to get it off my chest, really. And but as I mentioned that, my therapist then made that correlation between how you know, because I told her a little bit about my childhood already, so she basically saw that and said, actually, when you was a child, you felt this, that, and that's how you was treated. So now you're in this relationship and the same kind of patterns are recurring. And immediately that's when I had that light bulb moment and thought, wow, never made the correlation.
Yeah.
And that's when I really started to look into all of these different topics, and trauma bonding, gaslighting, all the rest of it, because I can't diagnose anyone, obviously, because I'm not a psychiatrist or anything like that, but there were definitely a lot of narcissistic traits in that relationship. And I heard the term because, you know, it's pretty much the buzzword of our time, but the patterns, I wasn't really familiar with them, and I really started to research about this and just being in utter shock, because I'm reading this information and I'm thinking, wow, so I wasn't insane, I mean, of course, I say all of these things, but we've all I was not perfect, definitely, because I think there were a lot of things that I needed to address from my own childhood that made me, I guess, I think more reactive, I would say, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
And just having, that made me think it was okay to be in that situation to begin with.
Yeah, I guess, like you said, you grew up, you normalized the fact that you were always wrong. You always accepting responsibility and taking the blame. So I guess then as you went into adult relationships, you were then attracting relationships which there was a power imbalance there. You were always going to be the one, if there was ever a problem, you were always going to be the one to own the problem. And you were then going to attract people that didn't ever want to own the problem. And like you said, would show kind of narcissistic-y type tendencies because they were not going to look at themselves at all. And if you're readily sitting there accepting all the responsibility anyway, if that's the way I'm inclined, I'll just keep giving you the responsibility and holding you to blame for it.
Exactly. Absolutely. And it just piled and piled up. And my self-worth, self-esteem just got lower and lower as the years went on. And it was even worse because there was quite an age gap between us two, so that power imbalance was even bigger.
Right.
And as the days and years went by, I just got deeper and deeper into this dark place until that process that I went through after I went into therapy, and I thought started reading about other people's experiences as well, which really helped me to sort of validate my own. And I thought,
yeah,
there needs to be a space where we can talk about this. And that's where I thought, yeah, we need to get a platform like Yes Love out there. To basically get these conversations going.
Yeah, definitely. You said that you didn't leave because of your worth. So you didn't leave because you recognized that you had some value. You recognized that actually you were just so low you couldn't do this anymore.
It was pretty much it. Yeah.
Again, because that's really I'm going to use the word sad. It's a really sad space, isn't it? That even that you didn't have that sense of worth. Again, that would be something I assumed that you would then be working on to kind of decide your own kind of work. Decide your own.
Yeah, definitely.
Have to build that up.
Yeah.
But it's interesting, isn't it, that it wasn't because you felt that you deserved more that you left. It's just that you couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah, it's definitely. I mean, this is, I've come a long way from where I am now. I would not be here. I mean, being an introvert on top of that, then you would definitely wouldn't be seeing me in public like this. But yeah, absolutely. I left because it was just too much. And I felt guilty as well because, in a way, I felt like I felt responsible for keeping my family together, and I felt like I needed to take whatever was happening to make it work. I mean, before then, there were certain things. I mean, I wouldn't say my self-esteem was the highest it can be, but I at least sort of knew that, I wouldn't want to put myself in that situation sort of thing, whereas because I already had a family. And I'd say even culture, I think also played a part. So I really felt that sense of pressure to remain in the relationship. And until it re literally, I couldn't, I just couldn't. Otherwise, I honestly would not be here because it was really that bad. And I think had I not had that sort of experience, the whole light bulb moment, I would probably be still in that same situation. Because I think even though I left, at some point I could have easily been persuaded, basically, back into it again, even if it's months or years later. Because, if you haven't done the work, then you're still pretty much there. And you forget your after a while your mind forgets. And this is why I'm really passionate about what I'm doing, because I think just not being aware can cost you so many years. Because as I was listening to other people's stories, I see people that have been married for 20, 30 years, and are only just realizing at the age of like 50 that, oh, actually, all of these things were not healthy. They just thought it was, what it was supposed to be. Relationships are hard. So of course, when it gets hard, you think, well, I just need to buckle up because that's just what it is. Whereas, we don't always understand this is healthy, this isn't, this is a personality disorder, this is a mental health challenge, and this is not. So I think it, shedding light on that really can save you a lot more years.
That's an important point to understand, isn't it? The relationships aren't hard, they just take work. If relationship feels hard, I would say it's probably not the right relationship for you to be in. But if it all relationships take work, because like you said earlier, we are very complicated and complex individuals, and so we all bring our own stuff into a relationship, and that dynamic needs to be understood between the two of you and worked through in when things don't quite gel properly or healthily. And like you said, if you're both prepared to do the work in that space, then you can, it can be pretty easy. It takes work, but it's, if you're both aiming towards the same kind of goal, and you're in it together, then it can be something that actually doesn't need to be hard.
That's a really good point there, because I think, because we hear these things, but then it's what does it look like? And I like that you've just said that it's work, but when both parties are contributing equally, then it makes it easy. And I think that needs to be said like a bit more. It needs to go on a t-shirt, my humble opinion. Because I think these things are are the things that makes it difficult for people to get out of unhealthy relationships, because you just assume this is what the work is. You might think you're the person who needs to do the work for whatever reason, whereas it needs to be both parties that are making it healthy. And what does healthy look like? Especially I think for those that come from different backgrounds, because culture does play a role, but I think the ultimate question, like you were saying earlier, is this working for you? Is this making you happy? How's your mental well-being? Because we can come up with all kinds of excuses. Culture, it's just my personality, it's just what I've been through. Whereas I think the better question is this working, or is this making me happy?
There's so many influences, isn't there? Like you said, it's what you believe. Like you said, if you believe that you've got a certain role in a relationship, if you believe that relationships how many times have people said, oh, relationships are hard work? If that's your belief, then generally the relationships that you're in are going to be hard work, because that's how you see relationships. And so therefore that's normalized. You're normalizing relationships as hard work. But like you said, there's culture, there's like I said, roles, there's how you see yourself in a relationship and how you see other people, what your expectations are and what your beliefs are. And there's so many things that go into our relationship experiences. But like you said, ultimately, does this work for me?
That's
Is this healthy? Am I happy? Is this fulfilling? Am I getting some of my needs met? Do I get a lot of what I want in this relationship? And I know there's a lot of sort of stuff about they that will say at the moment that people have got too high expectations. It's all self, self, self. But we have to have a sense of self. We have to know what is going to make us happy in a relationship. And I don't mean, you know, are you going to buy me lavish gifts all the time? And are you going to look after me? And do I have to do nothing? Which, again, I see a lot of sort of TikTok-y stuff around people saying, you owe me this. They're going to these relationships. I'm kind of, you owe me. You need to look after me. You need to give me this and you need to give me that. I don't mean that kind of stuff. I mean, actually, is this person right for me? And is this person going to complement my life and make me feel happy? And is it going to be a healthy space?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because it just reminds me actually of a conversation I had a few weeks ago where I was being asked how to sort of navigate around the culture pressure that you tend to get, especially in African cultures. You know, when you get the sort of dreaded question, when are you going to get married?
Yeah.
And it comes up every other day, pretty much.
Where's my grandkids?
So I, you know, and I think what you've just said basically is pretty much accurate, because what I was basically my response to that is that to do things that that's making you feel fulfilled outside of a relationship, because ultimately I think a lot of people that are asking you these questions might not necessarily be in a healthy relationship themselves. I guess it's just kind of like, this is what we're expecting and you should be on board too. And you know, at the end of the day, you're going to be the person in that relationship waking up to it. And yeah, and if it's not healthy, then, and I think ultimately as well, what we're really after is a feeling. So you want to feel happy and fulfilled. So I think if you can get that feeling outside of a relationship, then not only are you actually living a fulfilled life in comparison to perhaps, you know, the people that are sort of putting pressure on you, but you're also you're less likely going to find yourself in an unhealthy relationship because you're already fulfilled and you're just looking for something that's going to complement that rather than something that's going to basically make you feel fulfilled. So I think that's such an important thing to constantly keep in mind, because we are human at the end of the day. But I think having that perception, I think it does help.
Yeah, no, definitely. That's a really good point you made there about that outside pressure, that expectancy.
Yeah.
You know, that someone's putting their stuff onto you. When are you going to get married? Because that's what they did, because that's what they think is the right thing to do. And again, that can become your belief. But again, like if it doesn't feel authentic to you, if it doesn't feel the right thing for you to do, but then you still think you've got to do it, it's quite a tough space to go, actually, guys, this is your stuff. But like you said, if it's a cultural thing, if it's something that's been passed down generation after generation after generation, it's hard for you then to go to buck the trend, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And I think that was also contributing factors to why I didn't want to leave my last relationship, because there was that pressure of, oh, actually, now you're going to be a single mom. And, you know, how's that going to look, sort of thing. This is why I think really doing that work is so crucial, because then you can really have these difficult conversations with yourself, because I think we can say, you know, do what makes you happy and that sort of thing. Whereas if you have these other underlying issues from childhood where you don't feel worthy, you don't feel like you can live a fulfilled life, you're codependent and that sort of thing, then it can be hard to even stand up for yourself and say, actually, I think I deserve this, because what else do you know, really? This is reality. Yeah. And it can't get any better than this. So I think, yeah, this information does help us to see that there's a, just to really dare. And I think that's why have really put myself out here to share my story, because it does help to see that there's another side of things, because I didn't see a way out. I didn't see a way. I was in a really, really dark space. So definitely drinking a lot more than I should have, and just really distracting myself, just anything that could, any escape I could find. And and just didn't see a way out of it. And it was hearing other people's stories that really helped to say, actually, maybe I could, might not get it, but I could try and see if there's a better out there. And yes, I think information stories and podcasts like this are life-changing, I'd say.
And again, that's interesting, is that the mindset that you developed in a child was then the mindset you took into the relationships. And if now changing your mindset about relationships is then going to bring a relationship towards you, which is going to be based on something a lot healthier, something more about what you want, not something you've been led to believe is the right thing. And just shifting away from that, owning that space is really important.
Yeah, it's a more, I think it definitely feels, because your body never forgets, does it? So your nervous system will still pick up on certain triggers. So I think, but ultimately, at least you sort of have more control over your life, because you're now deciding, actually, it might be a risk, it might be a gamble, but I'm deciding this because I think this is good for me, not because I feel like I need to be fulfilled or because I have this pressure or wherever it might be. So yeah, I think it can definitely help you feel more empowered. And yeah, I think we should, because I think therapy isn't just for people who've been through a lot of traumas and things like that. I think it just helps you to be more self-aware, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And to understand yourself and know what you want. So yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think everybody would benefit from having a bit of therapy or a bit of coaching, just to do a little bit of self-exploration. Is this is who I am? Again, why am I the way I am? And is there anything else I could do differently? And some therapy won't provide that space, because that's not the therapist's job. But a lot of therapists will be able to help you to explore you and understand what's best for you moving forward, what you really want, what you really need. I think especially, like you said as well, right at the beginning, about that worthy space, it's important you feel worthy and that you deserve something better as well, right? Because I guess if you don't feel worthy, if you don't feel like you deserve a healthy relationship, it's going to be really then difficult for you to allow a healthy relationship to exist anyway, because it's going to go against your own sense of self. So again, therapy, coaching and stuff like that can always help you. If that's something you need help with, is to improve that sense of self. Otherwise, you're very likely to recycle unhealthy relationships because you don't deserve any better.
That's it. And I think before I sort of had access to this information, it would sort of confuse me as to why would people get into a relationship and then think, oh no, I don't really want to be in that relationship because the person is just too nice. It's just weird place to be in. Or they're just,
that's what I get a lot. They're boring. It's too easy.
Yeah.
Why do you want it to be difficult?
Yeah, I just need something destructive, keep me going. And that really sort of baffled me. I mean, there's certain things that are like, I guess, I say the whole self-esteem thing. If you have low self-esteem, perhaps you might think, well, actually, I just need to take care of people. I just have such a good heart. Whereas, the other sort of extreme, and I was really confused by what people will literally sabotage the whole relationship because it doesn't feel right because of their upbringing experience and things like that. So
yeah, I've got my hand up for that. I was that person. Mine was more, there was a sense of self that I had very low self-worth and self-care, but it was also my again, this normalization of what relationships are. To me, when I was growing up, relationships, there was no permanency. There was no consistency. And so as I grew up, if any relationship felt, again, this sort of tapped into my avoidant type stuff as well.
Yeah.
But if any relationship felt was going on for a while and it felt okay, my brain would go, yeah, but it's going to end soon. Change soon, because that's what relationships do. They change. And what you're experiencing now is not consistent. And again, a lot of the time, I would be the one that would change the consistency. I would be the one that would throw the grenade in, because I didn't know how to deal with a relationship that was consistent in a happy and healthy space. And so therefore I went off on a tangent and said, okay, now I need to prove to myself right that this is destructive, or this is going to hurt me in some way, or this is going to stop at some point. And I'd make that happen, because I couldn't cope with the idea that there was something healthy and real in front of me.
Wow, that's so, because since the relationship that was unhealthy, I have dated, and definitely I can relate to a lot of what you've just said there, because for me is, when is it going to get unhealthy? Even if it does end, it's got to be chaotic. It's not going to be a mutual sort of agreement. So it's absolutely amazing how, you know, your brain will work overtime to find anything to confirm those core beliefs that actually this is going to end at some point, and just resting in that safety, I think is what, it's so many thoughts were going through my mind as you were just sharing there, because I think for me, what I thought I wanted is for the person to provide a safe space, whereas my mind wasn't a safe space. That's kind of what needed the work, because no matter how safe the space was, in my head I'm thinking, well, this is kind of too good to be true. There's got to be, you know, there'll be a text eventually somewhere that makes me question, you know, whether they're honest to begin with. So it's a really, it's quite difficult because it's so ingrained in you.
That uncertainty is not coming from them, it's coming from you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what a revelation, because I was absolutely convinced that actually they're going to prove, and it's never ending. And I think, again, being aware of these things really is helpful, because, you know, you're not making the other person suffer as well, like as well as yourself, because nobody really owns us that much. You know, I mean, at least not forever. The sort of commitment to prove that they are actually not leaving, and also even being okay with the fact that even if it does happen, because we don't really have control. And that's a really hard thing for me, because I think what helped me to sort of have that acceptance is to say it will go wrong, therefore I should just wait for it to happen at the right time, and not really that actually people can you can have a healthy relationship, and even if it does end, it's okay, because you still have your own sort of life outside of it. You can still find fulfillment outside of it. It's really interesting.
We're rapidly running out of time, unfortunately, but again, that point you made earlier on, you've just made that again. I think that gets hugely significant, is that the relationship is not the be-all and end-all of your life. And if it is, when it's not there, it is going to probably destroy you in a way, because it's going to be such a big hole. It's going to, like you said about dependency, if you've become so dependent on that relationship being your life and you've got nothing going on outside of that, if you don't have a good friendship group, if you don't maybe have healthy family relationships, if you don't have your own hobbies and interests and stuff like that, when that relationship is gone, it's such a massive hole. That it's going to, again, really difficult for you to probably stay away from it in the first place, or to feel okay around life in general, because there's such a such a big something missing and you've got nothing else going on. So again, like you said, it's really important that you have a really healthy life outside of that relationship as much as possible. So if you get yourself into a relationship, you're not completely just relying on that working out for you to feel okay, and that you accept the fact that it might not work out, and if it doesn't, you're still going to be okay. And I think that's a big fear, isn't it, as well, about relationships, especially if you come from a place where you have low self-worth, or you put too much significance on the relationship, that you go into it thinking this is everything.
That's it.
And again, that can trigger so many different things anyway, right? It can trigger your fear of being in a relationship in the first place, or your fear of getting hurt, or whatever it might be, because again, there's too much importance placed on it and you don't necessarily know that you're going to be all right regardless.
That's it. And it's not really popular kind of advice that we hear, that, you know, get in the relationship, be happy, but also make sure you're going to be okay, even if it does end. And I think that's quite key, because it can help in terms of having a happy relationship, because, yeah, ultimately you don't have control over the other person or even yourself. You could be a different person in a few years' time.
And you've very much will be. otherwise you're not. Yeah. Otherwise you're probably not moving forwards.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a really interesting territory to navigate around, but these things do help, I think.
And your website is all part of helping people to do that. So please do tell people if they want to reach out and get to know more about you, and maybe and get onto the Yes Love website. How do they do that?
Yeah, so the website is just yeslove.co.uk. Mm-hmm. At the moment, I am working on sharing more of my story. So there will definitely be a space dedicated for people who just want to speak to me. But at the moment, all the activities are going on yeslove.co.uk. So yeah, it's very simple. You just go on that, create an account, and then just the community space, the information and all the rest of it. So if there's any thoughts about what you could share in terms of what we've just discussed, and that's what that community space is for. So yeah, everyone's welcome, and it's a safe space.
Yeah. So if you want to know just more about relationships, if you're in a relationship yourself and you're not sure if there's a problem, if you know there's a problem, or if you just, again, like I said, just want to find out more about what the problems, how my problems could manifest, then do visit the Yes Love website, get in touch with Jael. Thank you so much for your time today. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Hopefully it hasn't been hugely uncomfortable, and that you've enjoyed the conversation as much as I have.
No, not at all. Thank you so much for having me here. I mean, you've definitely made it a lot more easier. I felt like a natural extrovert, actually. So thank you so much for that. And really appreciate it.
Awesome. My pleasure. It's been a pleasure, absolute pleasure talking to you. Thanks for your time and take care.
Thanks, Arthur.
Thank you for listening. Please subscribe, follow and review the show. That is very much appreciated. And please do reach out if you would like to know more about how you can create healthy, intimate relationships in your life. I will leave you with this quote from Carl Bond. Although we can't go back and make a brand new start, we can start now and make a brand new ending. I look forward to seeing you on the next episode of The Relationship Guide.